shore. And 2 Peter chapter 1 talks about that, about our faith and adding to our faith certain characteristics. And 2 Peter chapter 2 talks about some roadblocks to that, some things that can get in our way from really knowing God better. And someone said, when the Lord starts blessing, the devil starts messing. And I think that's what the idea here is. This is how the devil starts messing with people, is he gives them false teaching. On Friday, I was with my son, and we were working on his woodshed, and we needed to put new spouting on both sides. They're 45 feet long, each piece of these spouting. And the facing behind the spouting was all rotted away, and some of the tuba boards behind the facing was rotted away. And so we were on the top of the ladders, and we were doing this, you know, with the spouting, trying to get it behind, you know, the water guard that comes down from the roof so the water actually run into the spouting. And we were both just covered with sweat, clinging to the side of this building. And my son's, you know, taking his hammer and pounding these spikes. And we're making great progress going down that row of getting that spouting put up. And we were on the third spike. And I was lifting up like this. And I was just at the end of my strength. And the sweat was just running down all over me. And right in the middle of that, this fly started chewing on my back, this big horse fly. And so I reached around, I pulled my shirt out, and the fly went away for a while, but then he came back and started eating me again. And that's what the passage here is kind of like. You know, these false prophets are these bugs. You know, you're making great progress in your life with God, and these things come along, and they get in your way, and they irritate you. And they stop you from being, or they try to stop you from being, stop us from being what we can be. So that's Satan's plan. He's the great imitator, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. He's the father of lies. He's the angel of light. And to destroy our faith, he has prepared these con artists to speak to us. They're false teachers. They're poison peddlers. They're counterfeit communicators. They're deceitful workmen. And they're makers of cleverly invented stories. A lot of different ways you can think about these guys. And they're all there in order to get us off track. It's a cruel work that they're doing. John MacArthur said, "Nothing is more wicked than for someone to claim to speak for God for the salvation of souls, when in reality it speaks for Satan and the destruction of souls." You know, 2 Peter chapter 1 ends speaking about good prophets that spoke from God as the Holy Spirit carried them along in verses 20 and 21. But here it begins and teaches us about false prophets, false teachers, con artists. And he tells us in verse 1, they were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false prophets among you. So he refers to the past and also to the future. He says, they will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. So today we'll look at three characteristics of these con artists, these false teachers, to watch out for as we strive to grow to know Jesus better, as we build this intimate relationship that we have with him. So Peter begins chapter 2, verse 1, with a contrast. But there were false prophets and false teachers. You know, just as Jesus had his prophets and apostles, Satan will send his false prophets and teachers. You know, a false teacher is a person who knows the truth, but teaches something otherwise for some purpose. Maybe he has a selfish reason. Maybe he wants to please people. Maybe it's for the green stuff. Maybe it's for money. They teach people what they want, what the people want to hear, even though they know that's not true. They know the truth. That is a false teacher. They introduce false, destructive heresies, and they're camouflaged like something good. It's never that they come at you with total false stuff, but there's always a little bit of truth in there that kind of grabs you. And they deny Jesus who bought them, and it'll be known for what they deny rather than what they teach. And here it talks about the redemptive work of Jesus. That's what they'll deny, which brings swift destruction upon themselves and ruins the lives of other people. Warren Wiersbe says that false teachers use our vocabulary, but they don't use our dictionary. They use the same words, but they mean something else. Then they and the people who follow them are no longer capable of fulfilling the purpose that God has for their lives. It's kind of like a Greek horse who has a tendon cut. This horse is destroyed, annihilated, as they, you know, attempt to do the work that God has created them to do. And that's what happens to these people. They are destroyed as they follow these heresies that deny Christ. So that's the first characteristic of a con artist. They introduce false heresies and deny Christ. They deny Christ. The second characteristic of these false teachers in this passage we find in verse 2. It says, many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. So they cause the way of the truth to be maligned. They cause the way of the truth to be maligned. These false teachers have big crowds that follow them. Notice the word many. Many people follow these people. People like to listen to them. You know, often false followers will follow false teachers. And they give in to their shameful, filthy, immoral ways. And they make it okay to do that. And this causes the Christian faith to be blasphemed, to be spoken badly about. You know, I've noticed that the potential for deception is very great in our culture, isn't it? People are spiritually poisoned and led away. They're unsuspectingly tricked. Remember Jim Jones? Maybe some of you are not old enough, but remember Jim Jones? Those people thought that they were actually doing something good following this guy's. Or Waco, Texas? Does that bring anything back to mind? Well, how well do we know the truths of God's word? They are the only antidote to the poison that these poison peddlers spread to prevent the way of truth from being maligned. We have to know the word of God. We have to know it. It has to be part of our lives. So they cause the way of the truth to be maligned. That's the second characteristic. The third characteristic you find in verse 3. It says, in their greed, with stories they have made up, their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. So they exploit people because of greed, because of money, because of greed. So their motives are exposed in verse 3. Greed, the desire for more. And it's never enough. There's always that extra buck. That's what they're after. And they're willing to exploit you and exploit me in order to get that money. Also, it's talked about their methods. It says, with stories they have made up. And the Greek there talks about plastic words. You know, that's the idea. It's where we get the word for plastic in English. Plastic words are artificial. They're fabricated. They're not genuine. They're cleverly invented stories that he talked about earlier in chapter 1. Also shows us their madness, and it results in their condemnation and destruction, and it doesn't end well for them. it doesn't end well for the people who follow after them. Well, Haddon Robinson was a great preacher. He taught at Denver Theological Seminary. He taught people how to preach. And he shares this illustration about exploitation. And that's what false teachers do. They exploit people. They take advantage of them. They use them. And this is a story he told. He said a man in New York City met and married a woman who had a cat. He said it might be better to understand this as the cat had her. She loved this cat. She pampered this cat. She fed, she cooked separately for this cat. And she would spend like 2 hours a day just petting this cat, you know, doing everything that this cat needed. She loved it. And she had this guy that she married, and he hated the cat. He was allergic to all that hair that she stroked off of that cat every day. And, you know, he couldn't sleep. You know, this cat would cause him to sneeze. He was constantly sneezing, so he's allergic to this cat. And he would get in bed, and the cat would jump on his head in the bed, so it'd wake him up. He could not sleep. So one day, his wife went on a business trip, and he let the cat outside, and he went out in the yard, and he caught that cat, and he put it in a bag, and put a couple stones in the bag, and he dropped the cat in the Hudson River. Well, his wife came back, and she was distraught, and she cried. She cried for like 2 weeks. He didn't know what to do. He thought she'd get over this, because she had exploited him, and now he was exploiting her. He said, "Honey, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll put an ad in the paper for $500 if anybody will bring that cat back to us." And she said, "Okay." And so she put the ad in the paper for $500. 2 weeks later, nobody has answered the ad. So he said, "Honey, I'll put another ad. I'll put a $1,000 reward for anybody who returns his cat to us." And his friend saw this, and he said, "You're crazy. There's no cat out there that's worth $1,000. You can go buy another cat." And he looked at his friend, and he winked, and he said, "Well, when you know what I know, you can afford to be a little bit generous." She was exploiting him. He was exploiting her. It was all wrong. And that's what these false teachers try to do to us. They try to exploit us. When the Lord starts blessing, the devil starts messing. We got to watch out for these con artists, these false teachers who come around. How about you? Are you watching out for these con artists? Do you know, do you recognize these people who are trying to peddle poison? Are you building your faith so that they can't get a grip on you? If you know Christ as your Savior, if you know Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit will warn you on the inside. "Hey, sounds really good, but there's something missing about it. There's something wrong. I can't put my finger on it, but there's something wrong with what this guy's saying." And that's the Holy Spirit protecting you, guiding you, loving you as you don't fall into their grips. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thanks for the privilege it was today to hear Betsy and also to look just a little bit into your word and try to do things that develop our faith even more, to make us more and more mature. Lord, that's what we want. That's what we want you to do in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.